Federal prosecutors on the Enron task force have indicated that they will soon be filing what's known as a superseding indictment of Enron chief financial officer Andrew Fastow. The new indictment could bring additional charges, or it could name new defendants. Fastow, who is pleading not guilty, already faces a 78-count indictment for fraud and money laundering and could spend decades in prison if he's convicted. Many in Houston are following the case closely, and as NPR's Wade Goodwin reports, the last few weeks of grand jury testimony have fueled speculation about who will be indicted next.
For federal prosecutors, building the Enron case is a bit like stringing together a long line of dominoes. Do it well, and one falling domino leads to another. Prosecutors already have one star witness, Michael Copper, the top aide to Andrew Fastow, Enron's CFO and the alleged mastermind behind the accounting fraud that led to Enron's collapse. In a cooperation agreement, Copper pleaded guilty to fraud and money laundering last August. But as a government witness, Copper is vulnerable to cross-examination because he himself was immersed in the fraud he'll be testifying about. That creates credibility problems for the prosecution's case.
One witness cannot do it alone.
Chris Bebel is a securities lawyer at the Houston firm Shepard Smith & Bebel and a former Justice Department and Securities and Exchange Commission prosecutor.
Corroboration is absolutely essential because the people who will be telling the story in bringing the events to life are going to have lots of skeletons in all kinds of closets.
Bebel says that ideally, the government wants to build its Enron case like one would a pyramid, slowly building toward the top executives.
The government is undoubtedly looking at Rick Causey and Ben Glisson as potential candidates. These people had a lot of knowledge of what was occurring with respect to the transactions at issue. They were close enough to top-level management to provide very helpful information.
Richard Causey was Enron's chief accounting officer, and Ben Glisson, the company treasurer. Both were accused of illegal acts in the government's indictment of Andrew Fastow. Rick Causey is suspected of having conspired in a secret agreement that guaranteed that one of Fastow's private partnerships would never lose money when it did business with Enron. As CAO, Causey approved dozens of transactions the government alleges were designed to deceive. And thus far, Causey has refused to cooperate, and so he is considered a prime target for indictment. Lawyers for Causey and Glisson did not return phone calls. And the list of who might be in the government's crosshairs extends outside the company to Andrew Fastow's wife, Leah. Thus far, Andrew Fastow has steadfastly refused to cooperate, but his wife was paid tens of thousands of dollars for acting as administrator to one of the partnerships. And Leah Fastow and the Fastow's two young children also received gift checks of over $100,000, all part of a complex transaction that concealed the true ownership of another off-the-books partnership. And Leah Fastow's name is on several of the accounts that prosecutors allege were used to move money tainted by fraud. Leah is not in a position to claim ignorance either. She holds an MBA from Northwestern and was a former assistant treasurer at Enron. Chris Bebel says that if the government uncovers evidence that she willingly participated in a deception, Fastow's wife could be charged with money laundering.
The government undoubtedly views Ms. Fastow as a bargaining chip. The government can rattle sabers and threaten to bring charges against Ms. Fastow, and then hopefully that will bring Andy Fastow to the bargaining table. The government can also go forward and obtain the indictment and then dismiss the charges against her as a sweetener to Andy Fastow in order to coax him into cooperating.
But some in Houston, especially those in Houston society, believe that the government would be going too far if it tried to prosecute Leah Fastow. David Berg is a prominent Houston defense attorney.
I know they're friends. I know they're close friends. He is a devoted husband and she a devoted wife, great marriage, great kids. And I would think that if he had a chance to get his wife out of harm's way, he'd do it. But I'm not so certain they're going to indict Leah Fastow. I think that probably there'll be great pressure within the Justice Department not to indict her.
Leah Fastow comes from a prominent Houston family, the Weingartens. The Weingarten family once owned a string of supermarkets across the South and is well regarded in Houston for its philanthropy. and the Justice Department is certainly aware of the reputation of the judge trying the case. U.S. District Judge Kenneth Hoyt is known for coming down hard on prosecutors who overreach their evidence. Therefore, the government must weigh its desire to leverage Andrew Fastow into a guilty plea against the possibility of being viewed as too aggressive in their quest for justice. David Berg believes it will all depend on the quality of the evidence arrayed against Leah Fastow.
See, this is the power of the prosecutor's briefcase. Prosecutors have more power in that briefcase than most kings. What you don't know as a defendant terrifies you.
A different path of the investigation focuses on Enron's broadband division and could lead to former Enron president Jeffrey Skilling. One issue is whether Skilling intentionally presented inflated projections of the broadband division's prospects at a January 2001 conference of securities analysts. Skilling claimed then that Enron's broadband division would soon be streaming movies over the internet and that it would add value of $20 a share to the company's stock. Enron's stock shot up after Skilling's presentation, but the venture was dead just 6 months later. Prosecutors are focusing on several different levels of Enron's broadband team, and at least one executive is already cooperating. And finally, the grand jury heard testimony last month about Enron chairman and CEO Kenneth Lay. In particular, the government seems to be looking at Lay's stock sales for evidence of insider trading. Lay sold tens of millions of dollars in stock during the last year of Enron's life, but his lawyer Michael Ramsey says Ken Lay had no idea at the time what was really happening to his company.
The indictment says that Mr. Fastow was enriching himself at the expense of the company. And certainly neither Mr. Layer nor anybody else in the upper management is going to be told of that. As a matter of fact, it's going to be actively hidden from them.
Ramsey says he would be shocked if Lay was named in the government's superseding indictment of Andrew Fastow, expected in the next couple of weeks. And Ramsey says he is hopeful that his client will escape prosecution altogether. Wade Goodwin, NPR News, Houston.
In New York, a grand jury has been looking into the relationship between Enron and Wall Street firm J.P. Morgan Chase. But Reuters reports today that prosecutors have decided against a criminal indictment of the bank. The district attorney in Manhattan, Robert Morgenthau, is still investigating the investment bank for its role in the collapse of Enron and may still go after individual bank executives. J.P. Morgan Chase and other banks are under scrutiny for setting up complicated financing arrangements that helped the bankrupt energy trader hide debt. The bank said recently it will take a fourth-quarter charge of $400 million to cover Enron-related losses and will set up a $900 million reserve to pay for Enron and other future litigation expenses.